I'll just start out real simple. You're listening to Ask an Atheist, 253-584-1480. My name is Sam. With me today is Rebecca. How you doing?
Hey.
And Eileen.
Hello.
Haven't had you here in a while.
Yeah, I'm glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Well, they always told me to start on an up note, so I'm going to start on an up note. We've got an email here. This is Dylan from Belmont, Massachusetts. Hello, Ask an Atheist people. I wanted to invite interested parties to the Honk Festival of Street Bands this weekend in Seattle, which unfortunately was now last
week. Two weekends ago.
Yeah. This is not an atheist-related event, but it is a quirky, fun, somewhat nerd-related event that I thought might appeal to the Ask an Atheist cast. I'll be playing with Emperor Norton's Stationary Marching Band. Also, someone on the show, I believe it was Sam Mulvey, mentioned King Crimson was his favorite band. I could be misremembering. No, you're not. I recently wrote an arrangement of 21st Century Schizoid Man for Seattle's own Titanium Sporkestra, which will be performed several times over the course of the weekend. If you've ever wanted to hear Crimson played by massive brass and drumline band who dress like Mad Max characters, now is your chance. If that's not enough, I also wrote them an arrangement of Run to the Hills.
Boy, was that a fun weekend. Sam and I both went, and wow, that was just amazing.
It was, I had no idea that this is a thing that existed. It was mutant, rampaging, renegade marching bands doing songs that, there's a Nine Inch Nails cover, there's a King Crimson cover. It was a really amazing day for us.
It was. And this Honk Fest, it's nice to know that there are some atheists in the creative realms. Honk happens in Seattle and Boston, and I believe in Austin, Texas, as
yeah,
well.
In Austin.
And so it periodically happens around the around the country.
A town familiar to atheists listening to this show. But there was sort of a sour note to that, unfortunately, is that the mentioned Titanium Sporkestra broke up the very next week. So I saw this really amazing thing.
No.
They did this really amazing cover, and then the very next week, they are no more. So
well, Sporkestra, we hope to see your independent projects and things like that. So
yeah, absolutely. And then, so thank you, Dylan. I had a great time. Had a great time talking with you. Hope to see you again soon.
And it's great to hear that we have listeners in all sorts of corners of the country.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm very jealous that I didn't go.
Well, I believe there will be other opportunities. Maybe not to see Sporkestra, but that was not the only thing going on that day. It was a lot of fun.
Yes.
So you are listening to Ask an Atheist, 253-584-1480. And we've got a long list of people this week who have answered Peggy's challenge. Woo-hoo. Becky, could you fill us in on what Peggy's challenge is?
Yes, Peggy is one of our listeners from Kent, Washington, and she is a friend of the show who called in several, I think maybe two or three months ago now,
yeah,
and challenged all listeners to support us because, well, there really aren't that many atheist voices out there in, you know, on commercial radio, on the airwaves. We do sustain ourselves by largely through contributions and donations. And Peggy said, hey, you know what? If you like these guys, if you think that it's important for us to be out here, then go online and donate.
Well, contributions, donations, and advertising.
And advertising,
yes,
certainly.
Indeed. Okay, so we have a lot of people who have donated this week, and there's Laura from Austin, Texas, Roland from the Netherlands, Michael from Jersey Village, Texas, Scott from Renton, Washington, Tom from Cambridge, United Kingdom, Bob from Sammamish, Washington. I got that right?
Sammamish. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Shelby from Cambie, Indiana. I know I'm doing that right. Bill from Anchorage, Alaska. Donna from North Chesterfield, Virginia. Louise from Denmark, which should be familiar to you. Jake from Owensboro, Kentucky. David from Steilacoom, Washington. Christoph from East Vancouver, Canada. And Ron from Fort Lauderdale, Florida.
Yay.
That's a pretty amazing spread.
That is. Thank you so much to all of the folks who are out supporting Ask an Atheist.
Absolutely. And I can say with some authority now that Peggy's challenge is basically what is making Season 9 happen.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of the next 13 shows
that's
have come through
awesome.
Peggy's challenge. Yeah, it's thank you, everybody. So we'll do another email, I think. Uh-oh. Yeah, why don't you read it?
This comes from Gary from Maryland. And Gary writes that, hi, I'm in the middle of an on-and-off process of deconverting from Christianity to possible atheism. At times, I believe in God, but other times, I know in my heart and brain that it is all nonsense. So my question is it normal for one to go back and forth before committing to atheism? Thanks.
I think it's likely.
I'd say for myself personally, I waffled back and forth between being a believer and to actually declaring myself an atheist and thinking to myself, well, you know, I can't answer all of these questions, but the supernatural answers really don't make sense anymore. And I did waffle back and forth for probably about a year.
What were the pressures that caused you to waffle back and forth?
I grew up in a culture and in a family that was very Catholic. Basically the rituals of everything that meant anything to me, from holidays to birthdays to eating different foods, actually made me think, well, the reasons that we do this, for example, like eating pancit, which is a Filipino type of noodle,
right.
We were expected to eat it at every awesome function because it meant that you were going to have a long life. Really?
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Didn't know that.
Yeah, so things like that made me go back and forth, and when I realized that none of it really made sense, then I was able to finally say, you know, this doesn't make sense.
So, Becky, I was around for your transition. I didn't see a whole lot of waffling from you.
It wasn't really a waffling, but I do definitely relate to Gary's sort of sentiment where at times you believe in God, but other times you know in your heart and brain that it's all nonsense. Mm-hmm. It really was when I could no longer sort of push that nonsense out of my brain. Mm-hmm. Because it's really one... I was very much into sort of this mystical Jewish understanding of the world, very much based on sort of the 13th century Jewish mystics of the Iberian Peninsula.
Yeah.
And it's fancy and it's awesome and you feel scholarly reading about it, and it's really fun, and it also links you to part of a community and part of a history and a heritage. And so that was the thing that sort of drew me back in. And then you sort of understand, you know, it really doesn't make any sense. It's nice and it's cool and it's imaginative, but can I appreciate it for being imaginative?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Can I appreciate it as part of my historical heritage, but not part of what I believe? Yeah, I think I'm okay with that.
So in both of your cases, it was sort of the social end of it, the community you were a part of, that caused you to sort of waver back and forth between belief and non-belief.
Yeah, I'd say so, because all of that ritual had everything to do with being with family, and mm-hmm. that's what I associate it with. When I realized that I could separate the two and really just appreciate the ritual for being fun,
right.
then it was okay.
Okay.
And the last thing that I want to say to Gary is, you know, you don't have to commit to atheism. you don't. We're not like checking ranks or anything here. You know,
right.
We're not going to give you a card that say, yes, you are an atheist now. No, I mean, you determine for yourself whether you're an atheist.
So that little card that says, if I say I'm an atheist 10 times, I get a free cup of coffee. That's
no,
that's
doesn't
crap.
Count. Sorry.
Okay.
It
doesn't exist.
All right. Well, I'll throw it away then. You're listening to Ask an Atheist, 253-584-1480. And that was the high note. So
now we dig in.
Yeah, now we dig in stuff. A little bit. As I've said often enough on the show, that is that we would try very hard to give you a look into atheism, warts and all, the good points and the bad points. Is, you know, atheism doesn't say a whole lot. Again, the two-word definition, no God. But there is a community attached to it, despite what some others might say. And this community has social movements and social problems and social solutions. And there's a big one going on this week, which so far in Ask an Atheist we've tended to avoid. But Becky, finally, I think you'd hit some sort of threshold, and now you feel it necessary to talk about it.
I did. I did hit a little threshold there. You know, this discussion has been going on for, you know, intensely for the past month or two, and I would say for the past year, and it is the topic of sexism, of sexual harassment, and of gender equality within the atheism visibility movement, within the skeptics movement, because as you said, yeah, there's a movement attached to these people who just live their lives without God. And I published sort of an editorial this past week on askanatheist.tv on our website, and I got some feedback from it, and we're going to dig in and discuss it today on the show.
Well, so what is the basis of your problem here?
Well, I mean, first of all, there is a problem here that males have historically provided a majority at social events and lectures and conferences and represented a majority of speakers and authors and high-profile individuals within this movement, and the discussion has been brewing about how women are viewed and treated within this movement online, or socially, or at conferences. And really, it sort of boils down to there's sort of two choruses in this, two choirs, and one choir seems initially focused on bringing attention to the problems that some women have experienced, and this includes being sexually objectified, being patronized, being sexually harassed, and even to the point of being assaulted.
Right.
And it's not my contention that this doesn't happen.
Okay.
Right? Of course it does. Just based on statistics alone, this happens.
Right.
Based on being a product of a culture that has a lot of carryover and a lot of weight associated with sexism and sexist behaviors. Yeah. I'll buy that.
So it's because the atheist movement is built out of a larger culture, it's going to inherit some of the problems of that culture. That's what you're saying.
Precisely, here. Precisely. Okay. And then, though, there's sort of a reactive choir that seems focused on denying that anything like that occurs, or seems focused on minimizing the occurrence of those things. And then the resulting cry is from women and some men that are bringing up this problem. It seems that, you know, this response is rightfully, you know, indignance and betrayal.
Right.
But the response to that betrayal seems to have resulted in this really destructive discourse that's characterized by this doubling down on both sides. And when someone outside this ongoing discussion, like me, approaches, we're really shortly assigned spots in one camp or the other. And this is very problematic to me because it assigns black and white roles and identities to people that are trying to enter and participate in an ongoing conversation and try and, I believe, find solutions.
Okay, so what's the core of the problem here that you see that you want to talk about today?
I think that the discourse, the tone of the discourse, and the way in which it's happening is leading to a few things. One, it's that it's leading to alienation of people that would be would ordinarily be allies.
Yeah.
I think that there's a lot of men who are good and respectful and well-meaning, and they are becoming alienated from discussions by being assigned and lumped into these categories of people who really, you know, deny that anything is wrong with harassing women.
Right.
I don't think that that's the case. I'm sitting across the booth from one right now, you know. Sam, I dare say that you're a respectful man who has a lot to contribute and who would never, you know, advocate the assault or harassment of women on a sexual basis.
No, I wouldn't advocate that sort of thing.
So, good, now that we've cleared that.
Yeah, I think that's part of this, is we need to say this outright, and you've said it already, but I want to make it clear. We're not saying that sexism isn't a problem. We're not saying that feminism isn't bad. You're not saying that
I'm not saying that feminism is bad.
Right. And you're not saying that we should respect people who cross lines and harass and abuse.
No, absolutely not.
Right.
Men who deny that there's a problem, or men who engage in these kind of behaviors, they're not my friends. They're not my allies.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They're the same men who basically characterize me, at least online, in ways that I can't really repeat on air.
Yeah.
You're not my allies. You're not whom I'm speaking to. But who I'm speaking to are women who should be my allies, or who I should be allied with women. The questions that I have about the approach, I've seen voiced by men commenters on blogs and
right.
by men in social situations, and they have been summarily shot down and assigned the sort of, you know, demonized identity of people who enable harassment to continue to occur.
Okay.
And I don't think that's right.
So we've identified you've identified here that sexism is a problem. Feminism is a good response. It is a good thing to have. But you have a problem with both of these choruses. The chorus that's saying that there isn't a problem, the chorus that is trying to deny that sexism exists, that's clearly bad.
Yes.
Where does the problem begin?
So
in the other chorus.
So I think that this is that the net effect of the discussion that's happening is in striving to create a space for women, a safe space for women, is that you're putting good men and respectful men who have a lot to contribute in the position that you yourself so vehemently want to change for women.
Who is putting people in these positions? I'm asking you, like, you've defined the problem in general. Get specific.
I'm talking about feminist atheist bloggers. I'm talking about self-identified women who are bringing this to the fore. Basically, we can't work in a tit for tat manner. We cannot replace a safe space for women by creating a hostile space for men.
Okay. So, like, give me some examples.
So, some of the prominent atheist female bloggers were also present at the Women in Secularism conference that recently happened within the past 2 months, I believe. Common names that come up are Rebecca Watson, Ophelia Benson, who blogs with Butterflies and Wheels.
Mm-hmm.
Stephanie Zvon, who blogs at Almost Diamonds.
Okay.
And Jen McCrite, who blogs at Black Hag.
All right.
And there's others. There's a lot of people who participate in comment threads on particular posts.
Right.
That are very much supportive of not only the message that that we should work to eliminate these occurrences, but also the tone in which it's happening, the way in which men are pretty much universally demonized for questioning whether something is, you know, is warranted or whether something happened or how something happens.
Okay. Well, demonized, that's a pretty strong word. And I'd like you to fill that in, but we need to go into the break. This is Ask an Atheist, 253-584-1480. And when we come back, we'll continue to lose friends.
Billy, I'm a certified ghost expert.
Wow, that's so credible.
Billy, your great-great-grandmother says she loves you and to give me your lunch money.
Aw, anything for family. Here you go.
Wait, Billy. Extraordinary claims require extraordinary evidence. Come to Camp Quest Northwest, where you'll learn critical thinking and science in a fun-filled week-long nature camp.
No!
Camp Quest Northwest can be found at campquestnorthwest.org. Donations and volunteers accepted. The devil is not real.
I know.
Doyle's Public House is Tacoma's number one spot for the best selection of import brews and Irish whiskey.
Football matches and Red Sox games, knowledge night and no cover live music.
Doyle's is your spot.
Check us out at doylespublichouse.com or stop by for a proper libation and soda bread at 2nd and St. Helens Avenue in Tacoma.
Like us on Facebook for all the latest updates and specials.
Doyle's in Tacoma.
2nd and St. Helens Avenue in Tacoma. doylespublichouse.com.
Looking to sell or buy a home or other property in Edmonton, Alberta, and surrounding areas? Plant your roots and invest in this entrepreneur-friendly area with world-class education and healthcare. Demand a professional and call Dawn Summers of Professional Realty Group at 780-237-4718 and let him work with you to achieve your goals, save your time, and protect your investment. Contact Dawn Summers of Professional Realty Group at dndrealty.ca. It's time you hired a professional.
Don't believe in God? Join the club. Humanists, atheists, and freethinkers have joined the American Humanist Association since 1941 to advocate for progressive values and equality for non-theists in America. Located in Washington, D.C., the American Humanist Association lobbies Congress on humanist issues, protects the rights of atheists in the courts, and supports more than 140 local chapters. Visit us at AmericanHumanist.org or find us on Facebook and Twitter to learn how you can join the club today.
So you're on your Monday morning drive, and someone on Ask an Atheist says something that really, really gets your goat. You want to talk, you want to yell, you want to scream, and clicking the shiny red candy-like button just isn't good enough. Good! Call us! Leave us a message! Call Ask an Atheist at 206-420-0997 and vent your spleen now and for the future! That's 206-420-0997 and wait for the tone.
Welcome back to Ask an Atheist, 253-584-1480. And we're talking about feminism today and some of the stuff that happens in the atheism community. And when we went into the break, you were talking about the demonization of men. That's a very serious charge. Where do you see this and what is happening?
Well, some of the places that I see this happening is largely in blogs and comment threads, and also with our president of JREF, which is the James Randi Educational Foundation, Mr. DJ Grothy. Now, he has experienced, or he has expressed some unsavory things, like saying that, women are regretful of sexual exploits and then after the fact call them harassment or unintended, unwanted sexual advances. And I'm not saying that that is acceptable at all. But when I see that afterwards he comes and he apologizes, he is being demonized and cast as basically employing psychological abuse techniques, and that to me is overblown, is uncalled for, and leads to that alienation, leads to that feeling. Because anyone who agrees with DJ Grothy, and I honestly don't think that he wants to have harassment or happen at his events. I honestly think that he wants to have a safe, enjoyable time for all of the participants in his conferences. Mm-hmm. When that kind of thing happens, I think that anyone who is agreeing with him is then lumped into that category of being a psychological abuser and being dismissive to women. And by virtue of being dismissive to women, encourages the continuation of sexual harassment and sexual predation. And I just really, I grouse at that. And so far, I've really only seen other men or other male bloggers that have expressed this kind of agreement that I feel. And I truthfully have been quite afraid to join the fray, but I really just feel that it's enough. We don't have any women that are agreeing with this, and I feel the need to be a voice out there. Diversifying sort of the female voice on this issue.
Okay, so are there other data points? Is there other things going on here that you disagree with that you'd like to bring up?
Well, I think that that something specific to the atheist visibility movement and to skeptics that that comes into play here is that besides the fact that we shouldn't want to alienate men, we shouldn't want to create a safe space for women by creating a hostile space for men. I think that we really need to be very careful about employing our feminist rhetoric dogmatically.
Okay. And do you think that's happening?
I think that is happening. I think that is definitely happening.
Can you give me an example of where that's happening?
Yes, I think. Well, one of the things I was listening to a YouTube. I was listening to the filmed lecture panel lecture that was given at the Women in Secularism conference, where Jen McCrae rightfully pointed out the many similarities between religion and sexism, partly because of the tenacity both hold on the adherent, right? But right now, I think that religion can be dogmatic, sexism can be dogmatic, and we're at the point where feminist rhetoric is becoming dogmatic. Many young Americans are being trained with feminist thinking as the norm.
Right.
I'm 30, and so I grew up in an environment in a public education and a family environment, and even in a religious environment that was very egalitarian, that worked specifically to avoid some of the sexist traps of distinguishing men and women, things like
that. Okay, so where do you think feminism is being dogmatic?
Well, we should really be cautious to examine that the tenets of feminism might cleave to dogmatically, such as men that are in positions of power. Like men who are speakers are automatically sexual predators if they pursue women. I think that's a very damaging outlook to have.
Where is that outlook being shown?
In the blogs that I am currently reading, I think that there's repeated over and over. In, for instance, the call for male speakers to not engage in any kind of romantic or sexual pursuits with attendees at the conference, I think that is dogmatically asserting that men in positions of power are automatically sexual predators if they engage in this.
Okay.
And I just don't think that that's the case. And I think that, for instance, Stephanie Zvon, who blogs as Almost Diamonds, says that, no one's doing anything that women or certain women are considered disposable within the movement. This makes me furious, as it should. She's not going to compromise on this, she writes. And this was in a June 5th post that she wrote. She said she's not going to step back and be nice to people with power. And she says, I will shame whomever it takes to get this taken care of, because this is not acceptable, black and white. And I think that the link between dogma and shame is incredibly destructive. Most people in the skeptics movement and the atheist visibility movement left religion because there was a lot of shame that was used as a tactic to keep people in line.
Right.
I think using that hammer of shame is exactly the wrong way to go. And I think that people within the skeptics movement and the atheist visibility movement are particularly attuned to that.
Yeah. I'll give you my honest opinion here, is that when I, in leading up to this episode, when I've read specifically Almost Diamonds here, I feel talked down to a little bit when I read that blog. I feel like there's just shame. There isn't a whole lot of education.
And even for me as a woman reading that, I left religion because of the dogma as well. And I was raised in a household where if you didn't do certain things, bad things were going to happen to you. And I kind of got that sense when I read it as well. And I balked at that. And I really have to say that I disagree with that approach.
Okay.
There's a message that people need to convey, and I'm not sure that that's the way to do it.
Okay.
So, you know, are we talking about the ways in which we convey our messages? Well, yes, we are. And there's, within sort of feminist theory, there's this this trope of don't criticize my tone, because it plays into sort of the sexist understanding that we have, that women are hysterical or women are emotional, and if we would only control our emotions or control our hysterics, then we would actually be listened to and taken seriously. And to that, I say, I'm not discounting what you're saying. I'm not mm-hmm. discounting your message because of your tone. I am observing that your tone has taken has resulted in the alienation of people, in the pushback, because it reflects dogma and it reflects employing the hammer of shame.
Right.
And I think that that's important. And I think that if we're self-reflective,
you're
we
saying
need to change that.
There's a right to anger here, is what you're saying. Is that when you see things that make you angry, the natural response is to get angry, right?
Yes. I think that that is appropriate. And I think that that's, you know, if people were not passionate about it, we wouldn't really have a need to do anything about it. If people didn't feel some hurt or some harm being done to them, it wouldn't be a problem.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, I sympathize with the anger. If I have a friend that is, you know, cornered, assaulted, etc., is harassed repeatedly with no intervention, that incenses me mm-hmm. in any context.
Okay.
But I think that you know, I think that just using this hammer of shame is incredibly destructive. And your audience, your intended audience, skeptics and atheists, are not going to listen to that. I'm a Spanish teacher, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm a Spanish speaker. If I were to give, Eileen, if I were to give you directions to the mall, right?
Mm-hmm.
My core message is here's the directions to the mall. But now I'm going to give you the directions to the mall in Spanish. Is anything I'm saying in my message going to be A, useful to you, or B, taken seriously?
Absolutely not. I don't speak Spanish. I'm an OB nurse. The only thing I know how to say in Spanish is push, don't push, and breathe. That's about it. So anything you tell me beyond that, I would have no understanding.
Okay. And it's not out of the question to say, know your audience. Eileen is my audience, and I'm going to use language that is accessible to her.
Mm-hmm.
Because I want Eileen to honestly understand how to get to the mall.
Right.
I think that we all want men to understand ways in which it's appropriate or inappropriate to act to women, ways in which it's inappropriate or appropriate to act to all of us, to make everything, to make an online and social and professional space for all people to be comfortable.
Right. So, are there, well, actually, we got a call. This is going to be an interesting one. This is actually Stephanie Zahn is with us. How are you doing today, Stephanie?
I'm doing pretty well.
All right. So,
obviously not entirely a comfortable conversation to listen to.
I would imagine not.
Yeah.
So, what do you have for us?
Well, because in fact a lot of what you're talking about and what was linked in the blog post coming up to this was about things that I'd written, I thought it would be helpful to actually call in and have a dialogue, because I do think this needs to be a two-way conversation.
Okay.
I'll start by talking about that June 5th post and giving a little bit of context about that, because I've written, since the Women's Secularism Conference, well over a dozen posts on the topic of harassment, etc. So having that one in particular singled out, that one was actually on a very specific topic, and it was on the topic of DJs characterizing people who were talking about their experiences of sexual harassment as being locker room banter and being regretted sexual exploits.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's actually something where we do agree.
Okay.
It's not factually wrong
mm-hmm.
That this is not a helpful statement,
right?
Within this dialogue, it's also right that it's not one of the things that he's apologized for or walked back or in any way said, you know, that wasn't something he should have done.
So in the meantime, though, he has come and said to other atheist bloggers and prominent atheist women in the movement, such as Ashley Miller, Ashley Paramore, excuse me, was it Ashley Miller or Ashley Paramore?
If you're talking about the one who was harassed at town, that was Ashley Miller.
Okay. She, you know, and he said, you know, it's definitely if you were harassed, it is, you know, my intention to, you know, eradicate that. I am extremely sorry that this happened. You know, and what can we do about it? And at the same time, yes, he was saying that, you know, that no, there are no formal complaints being lodged, that there were people that harassed. And so I think that it's disingenuous to say that, you know, that he's not at all, you know, sorry about, you know, about anything happening. And I just think that it's disingenuous to say that he, you know, is engaged in victim blaming and, you know, and, well, and is anti-women. I really don't feel that way.
My post on that was having to correct DJ, who, even after everything that they had gone through, was first having to work to get him to take seriously the fact that this had happened, and going through an awful lot of questions about how she should have reported it, despite JRF not actually having reporting procedures at the time. But after all of that, he then went and characterized it as her not considering it important enough to report. So there is still minimizing behavior going on, or was at that time, that it would be very nice to see some much more clear.
All right, I actually have to ask you a question. Do you think the tone you're bringing to the discussion is going to make that to make it more clear? Is this? I'll be honest with you. I tend to. There's a lot of that DJ Grothy has said that I don't agree with. There's a lot of, you know, I'm not really ready to jump to his defense, but I'm not really certain that I agree with you when you say shame is what. If I need to use shame to do this, then this is what I'm going to do. From my perspective, it's like you went to shame first when there were other options.
Well, I've been writing about this since May 21st, I think, and you were talking about this being a June 5th blog post. I really don't think I went to shame first.
Okay.
And in the meantime, I've had a number of harassing comments on my own blog that have never made the light of day because those people have already been put where they can't derail the conversations, but I still see that.
Okay. That's fine, but that's not what I'm saying, and that's not what a lot of people are saying. So why are you suggesting that you're wielding shame at us? Because that's actually what it feels like, and this is just from me, but I feel like I'm being talked down to a bit.
I'm not entirely sure how you get the impression that I'm wielding shame at you. This was a very specific issue.
I think because, I mean, in the post that you wrote earlier than that, even, called Zero Tolerance, and if we want to use it, a phrase that is dogmatic and black and white and unyielding, I think Zero Tolerance is one that specifically encapsulates that.
Actually, the name of the post is Zero Intolerance.
Zero, okay, pardon me, I am misspeaking, yes, Zero Intolerance, but in either case, the zero, it's unyielding, it is black and white, and you embrace the black and white sort of rhetoric and thinking and characterization. In terms of what shame we're looking at and why do we feel that we're being talked down to, in that particular post, you have a practice or a hypothetical Q&A session with someone who is questioning, who is questioning the issue, who's questioning the tone, who's questioning what's going on. And repeatedly there are assumptions that, oh, are you a male? Well, it must be that this is where you're coming from. When you're anticipating, questions and dialogues, you summarily cut off your hypothetical, you know, foil with no. These are boundaries that you cannot cross. And I think that that's patronizing. I think that it is, it is putting your readers who question you or disagree with you in a lower position from you, and it is creating an environment of shame.
Well, the hypothetical that I say, or the line that I tell people they won't be able to cross in that, is getting me to name speakers based on hearsay. I think that's a pretty reasonable boundary to draw.
We're not. Much like most of this debate, in my opinion, it's not your ultimate goal that I have a problem with. Sexism is bad. It needs to be eradicated. It needs to be fought. And it exists in the free thought movement. Oh boy, does it exist in the free thought movement. But when you in a Q&A like that, the reader is taking the position of the Q, and you are providing the A. And you're basically writing for me in that point. And I'm reading these questions, and it's the method by which you're asking the questions that seem to put me in a small place when I read your blog. Do you see where I'm going with that?
I do kind of see that, and part of that is that that blog post actually fits within a much longer conversation, and to be frank, I wasn't expecting the issue to take off the way it was.
So in terms of taking place in a larger context, there was a male commenter on one of your posts that contended, hey, you know what, people don't have all the time in the world. People might chime in late. People chime in at certain times for certain reasons. People don't comment on some things because of a lack of understanding or confidence. And that was one quote that he said in several paragraphs. And 4 minutes after he posted that, you summarily banned him from your blog for that comment, presumably, so that
this
you know he could no longer waste time.
Had been spamming me on Twitter over the past 2 days.
But the thing is that I'm not a reader of your Twitter feed, and if I'm looking at you know what the voices say on this particular issue, these arguments sound very reasonable to me. And to then have that person have that voice summarily dismissed because you feel that he is wasting, you know, your time there. I think that it closes down the discussion. It belittles people that may agree with that, and it makes. I mean, honestly, the posts that get banned, or the commenters that get banned, are bringing up issues that come to my mind when I read the discussions that are happening.
And as I said, this is happening in a much larger context. No, you don't.
But I can't attend
readers
to that conversation. I can't attend to that context all the time, 24/7. I mean, I work, you know, 40 hours a week as well, as do a lot of people. And what is there valid to say because you cannot understand the entire context, or because you haven't heard the entire context, you have no reason to ask questions. You have no right to ask questions, and I'm going to dismiss you.
Actually, the people who have been dismissed have been part of the larger conversation. And yes, again, you can't see that, but I find it interesting that the assumption is not that there might be reasons for this in a discussion that has been going on very solidly for a year, and before that for at least another year, that there might even be reasons for that. There are other people in these conversations who actually say, you know, I'm feeling a little edgy about asking questions. And those people, I do say, yeah, I understand. This isn't an easy place to be. You don't have all the history.
Okay. I think you're misconstruing what we're saying here. In some cases, you're seeing these messages, we don't. All we're seeing is your response to these messages. And again, it's a blog. It's written in a very personal style. And it looks like you're talking to me about this. You may not be talking to me about this, but you are talking to me about this. And this is where I get confused. And it's not that I'm saying, again, your ultimate goal is a good one. But where does the education come in? I mean, where is there a good education post on your blog that you could direct us to that explains the situation, that actually provides answers to these questions, which they might be out of the mouth of idiots, but the questions might have some merit?
There are a few, actually. They're interspersed with the others.
Okay.
I have a post. It does have a very inflammatory title,
mm-hmm.
But there is a post up recently, people who are concerned that women might make unreasonable complaints about sexual harassment, or women who might make false complaints about sexual harassment.
What's the name of the post so that our listeners might be able to reference it?
Yes, let me pull that up.
Actually, if you can send us a link to that, I'll make sure it gets included in the show notes.
Yep, And there was another one earlier that discusses what flirting is and isn't in a way that hopefully makes it very clear how harassment is unlike flirting.
I do particularly appreciate blogger J.T. Eberhardt's post about that particular issue. One of the things that was alarming is that a lot of these kinds of things are coming from men. And I want to see some women's voices that are talking about creating an overall safe space. And that particular post on flirting and what is and isn't harassment is gender neutral. It is gender free. I would just like to see some female voices as well in that particular conversation.
I can send you the link on that as well, because that one's actually back a few weeks.
Okay.
Before,
well,
DJ ever said anything, so people weren't paying this much attention. Yeah, the most recent one is actually about three posts back at the moment.
Okay.
Those oversensitive lying women. But I'll send you a link.
Stephanie, you know, I think, like I said, I think we have the same goal in mind. I think we'd like this conversation and this process to end in the same place. And thank you for your time, and thank you for calling in, and thank you for clearing some things up. And actually, thank you for letting us question you on some of these things. I really appreciate it.
No, that's fine. And I do agree that we need, you know, 101 posts as well as some perspectives from people who've been in this a long time, and it's not always easy to tell which are which.
Yeah, I think that would go a long way. Thank you very much. This is Ask an Atheist, 253-584-1480. We're going to go into a break, and when I come back, I'm actually going to haul off on some sexists.
Need a break from the theistic world?
Live in the Seattle area?
Like the Flying Spaghetti Monster?
Whether you're an ardent non-believer, steadfast agnostic, or marauding Pastafarian, check out the award-winning nonprofit organization Seattle Atheists.
Socialize at the third Thursday meetup, attend lectures, come camping, donate blood.
Connect at seattleatheists.org.
Seattle Atheists, we believe in you.
Atheism TV. News, events, community, entertainment, debates, conferences. A massive repository of over 3,000 recent and fascinating atheist videos from all over the internet. Or watch The Infidel, our own regular news show. Visit the shopping area and buy something for that special atheist in your life. Or rent captivating shows, movies, and documentaries directly in your browser. Atheism TV, the world's best source of atheist videos. Visit atheismtv.com.
No human is burdened with original sin, nor condemned to live in guilt, nor in need of salvation from the supernatural. I'm Eileen, Vice President of Humanists of Washington, a nonprofit organization dedicated to advancement through reason, science, and democracy. Our organization opposes the use of dogma in determining laws and strongly supports marriage equality in Washington. A full range of civil rights is necessary to achieve full personal empowerment in society. Get involved at humanistsofwashington.org.
Tacoma Telematics wants to help you connect with your clients. We can give you a top-notch web presence. Tacoma Telematics can take your website to the next level and make it an essential part of your business marketing, but that's not all. Want VoIP? We've got it, bringing large corporation phone systems capability at mom-and-pop prices. We build intuitive interfaces to help you manage your resources quickly and efficiently. Take advantage of our holistic approach to make your business communication succeed effortlessly. At Tacoma Telematics, we're committed to personal and professional integrity, open communication, and long-term relationships. See us at TacomaTelematics.com.
If you enjoy the programming we create on Ask an Atheist, please make a contribution with us. Your sponsorship keeps our show on the air and improves the quality of our broadcasts. Don't make us beg. Please go to AskAnAtheist.tv and contribute today.
This is Ask an Atheist, 253-584-1480. As I said before, we're going into the break. I was going to haul off on some sexists, and I am definitely going to do that. So Becky wrote this post, and we knew it was coming. It was kind of a big deal. But I knew when the commentary was going to happen, the comment thread, the first people we would hear from were not going to be people like Stephanie Zahn or Rebecca Watson. It was going to be people on the other side of the debate. And I'll be honest with you, I sort of trolled people on my own forum.
awesome.
I didn't actually troll them. I didn't adopt a character. I didn't lie. I acted as if I was being honest about the way I was talking to people. And so what it ended up being is people came in. This one guy came in and said, and all of this is available on our website, askanatheist.tv, and started calling Rebecca Watson and Stephanie Zahn and P.Z. Myers communists and fascists. and cult members and theocrats.
Charming.
Yeah, it was really weird.
That's really the way to get your message across, by insulting people.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm like, I'm a skeptic. I'm, you know, why am I here? Why am I saying the things that I'm saying? Why am I of the opinion that there's some misguided ideas in the way that feminism is being approached right now? It's because I believe in evidence. We need to provide some evidence. And so I just go, hey, man, back up what you're saying. Back up what you're saying. And maybe a little bit angrier than that, because I just don't like it when somebody comes in my forum, oh, they're a communist, they're a fascist, which is orthogonal to atheism. It has nothing to do with that.
Or feminism, for
or that feminism, yeah. Uh-huh. And he was doing this one thing, and this is where it gets a little weird, is, well, I mean, he tried to get me to identify myself a bunch of times, and I did, and he didn't get it.
Wasn't your name Sam?
Yeah, well, you know, I don't expect people to, like I say in the thread, I'm not an atheist rock star, I'm just a guy with a radio show. I don't expect him to know who I am.
Well, at the but same said, time, you would think the people that were going to your page would realize, oh, maybe Sam could actually be the producer and host of the show.
Yeah, and I said, you know, he's like, you didn't Google my name. It's like, no, I didn't Google your name. I'm talking to you on an email thread. If you'll forgive me for not Googling your name, I'll forgive you for not clicking on the cast page. And it just got weird. But here's the thing, is because it's my website, I have access to the analytics. And I saw the blog, the ERV blog posts that got him to our thread. And the message that he was giving us in the blog posts on Ask an Atheist and the way he was talking in his ERV thread were really different. Like, he was pretending to be respectful. He's being a little bit wordy, and there wasn't much to his arguments. But in his blog thread, he was just being ridiculous about Becky. I mean, he was just talking down, used words like naive, I don't know.
Yeah. Naive waif.
Yeah, naive waif. and just really using, what's the word? No. Talk. I mean, they were just talking down to you. They were just saying really terrible.
A very patronizing tone.
Yeah,
I think
patronizing.
At one point he contended that I required white knighting from Sam.
From this anonymous coward, Sam.
Well, really, I think that my arguments can stand there. You know, can serve on their own merit.
Yeah.
You know, if I think that skeptics want evidence, I want evidence. It's not. Then
yeah,
I think that can serve on its own merit.
There's two sides of this. There's two choruses, and well, there's a bunch of choruses. But what we're suggesting here is that the way that feminism and killing sexism is being approached is negative, but we're not denying there are sexists in our midst. And, you know, nobody ever comes out and says, "Oh, Becky, that dumb woman." Nobody ever actually does anything that obvious, but if you look, you know, what I did is, all right, I'm in a bar. I visualized what he was saying as if I were in a bar and it was a guy talking about a woman in the bar. And I'm like, if I saw that guy, yeah, the sexist dork light in my head lights up. And that was the standard by which I judged it. I encourage you to go to this thread at askanatheist.tv, find the link to the other blog, and judge for yourself. But I'm going to call it what it is. You know, we needed to prove that maybe the direction that feminist discussion is taking in Ask an Atheist is dogmatic. And we also needed to prove that there is sexism. And well, you know, we have links for one, and I grew some in the lab for the other.
Yes, you did.
So to bring it back to that other subject, so where are we?
Well, I think that one of the things I wanted to bring up is that examining an argument critically, you know, isn't the same as criticism, isn't the same as, you know, knocking Stephanie for making an argument.
Mm-hmm.
I want more details. I want more evidence for it. Skeptics really are, evidence-based, right?
Yeah.
I want evidence to support policy in my field. I'm an educator. And that's not even particularly skeptical. That's just good sense. You know, if we're going to adopt policies, anti-sexist policies or, sexual harassment codes of conduct, things like that, I want things to be evidence-based.
Right.
The assumption that once the evidence is provided, like a list of speakers of questionable character, that we must employ the destructive hammer of shame, right, mm-hmm. in order to solve that problem, that's backwards. That's not
right.
What I'm talking about. I'm an educator by nature. you know, I think that there's a lot of people that have incredible things to contribute to our community and our movement. And I think that a lot of men might not even be aware of the actions or modes or behaviors that stem from, you know, from this sort of environment that we're in.
Right.
But really, honestly, what self-respecting egalitarian would choose shame over education?
Mm-hmm. Right. And this is one of those things is we're a skeptical movement here in the Atheist Visibility Movement. Skepticism and rationalism is a big part of this. And it was, you know, people eschew things which are shown dogmatically. And I think this is a theory that I have, and it's a
hypothesis maybe.
Yeah,
a theory.
It's a hypothesis. It's an idea that I have. Right. It's a show about atheism. I should use the scientific phrase. It's not a theory. it's an idea that I have. And it goes a little bit like this. I am 34. Feminism was a part of my education in public education in America. And we learned this, and as you're an educator, back me up on this. Education kind of goes a bit dogmatically. You are told things, you are demanded to remember them as facts, and there's sometimes not a whole lot to back it up.
Yes, generally. I mean, there
are... It's not how it's supposed to be.
It's not how it's supposed to be, and there are segments that say, oh, well, let's evaluate sources for bias, and let's look at a variety of sources of information. But yeah.
One of the things that people think modern education lacks is that you know, learning how to get evidence, learning how to look at things critically. Like, critical thought isn't a huge part of it.
Mm-hmm.
So, somebody grows up in the American context, under a religion, under public education. They learn all of this stuff dogmatically, and then they decide to become an atheist, and they throw out stuff that they think is you know, they decide to become a rationalist, rather. Atheism has nothing to do with this.
Right.
And they throw out a bunch of stuff that they perceive as dogmatic. And sometimes with it, because of the situation that they're in, and because of the privileges that they've got, they throw the feminism stuff out with the religious stuff, thinking that it's just dogmatic and there's nothing to back it up.
I think that that's a pretty good sort of that encapsulates what could possibly be happening for a lot of people, for a lot of skeptics.
And the answer to that is these might be good people. You know, they might not necessarily be, you know, whatever they're called. So the job that we have, and I put myself on this side, is that my job in this case, especially with the radio show, is to educate, is to show. You may have learned this dogmatically, but you also learned about gravity dogmatically, and gravity still works. Is that just because it's dogmatic doesn't mean it has non-dogmatic underpinnings. So strip the dogma away and look at the evidence, show the evidence, and that's why I did what I did on the web forum.
In the meantime, if someone is questioning it, it's not our duty to say, you know, you're a dirtbag who's anti-women. It's evidence of... really, that's just saying, hey, you know what, this is someone who is looking at their world critically.
Yeah.
Because they needed to throw out shame, dogma, religion, you know, uncritical thought.
And
now we fill in the blanks for them.
And shushing us on your blog and just go shh, shh when somebody asks a critical question, or saying, hey guys, we're just trying to get you laid here, which just banks on all of the, you know,
all of the gender stereotypes.
All of
that
the
we're
stereotypes, yeah. And that's,
presumably?
And that was Greta Christina who said that, who I have a lot of love for. She's really good. But it was like that, it's like, doesn't that throw the argument away when you just bank on those stereotypes? And but that's what it is. So, but we're atheists, but we're also humanists. We're also positivists.
Yes.
There's got to be Becky, if you were to recharacterize the discussion, if you were to say, start up a 14th chorus, another group of people who are saying another thing, how would you go about this?
Okay, I think that really an additive model is what we need. It enhances the status and opinions of women without denigrating the status and opinions of people who disagree with that,
right.
Perhaps. You know, logic and evidence is not a man's standard. It's not a misogynistic thing. I believe that women can and do provide evidence for their arguments and encourage us to use this and apply this to sexism.
Right.
But we need to critically examine our feminist tropes and see if they hold ground or just are these repeated mantras that some people may be right to question.
Right.
I think that we need to work from a lens that doesn't require that men be demonized by proxy. And I think we need to work from a lens that doesn't merely transfer this inequality. When men raise concerns, we need to listen to them as we expect to be listened to. I think that Yeah, what I'm talking about is not the concerns that says, oh, you need to be white knighted and rescued by your man. No, yeah. That's not the concern that I'm talking about.
Oh, it was hilarious as I got accused of white knighting you. And then like 500 people show up to tell, you know, be nice to this guy because of X, Y, and Z. Yes. Like, they blamed it on a psychological disorder. They blamed it. No, I'm going by what he says. Show me evidence.
So further, if I may.
Okay.
You know, in if we strive to not be categorically identified as sex objects or hysterical women, you know, we can't in turn categorically isolate men as pertaining to a category of thought or all as default sexual predators. And we can't bully men into some supposed mode of better behavior.
Absolutely.
Through shame.
Don't criminalize an identity.
Yes,
exactly.
I think that there's a lot of identity criminalization that's been going on. I think that if you say, hey, this person has a point, there's a lot of times when you say, oh, well, you obviously don't care about women. No, that's not what we're saying, and we need to get away from that discourse. We need to get away from that rhetoric. We got to recognize the diversity of individuals as actors with individual responsibility. We need to apply logic and rationality and skepticism to our institutionalized or socialized ways of being, and we need to grow beyond that. So, yes, we are socialized to act certain ways, but we are also individual actors with individual responsibility.
Right.
I think that we need to challenge our own attitudes about men and women, both as men and as women. Obviously, don't support icky behavior when you see it happening. Speak out speak out at the moment, or talk to the actors afterwards. Report things to staff, or those things.
Yeah, I think harassment is harassment. It's not good. It needs to stop. No, whatever its basis, and that's what we need to be focused on. Well, I guess next week we'll see if we have any listeners, huh?
I'm sure you will.
We'll see if we have nice listeners or others.
Yeah. Maybe we won't be entirely hated. This is Ask an Atheist. My name is Sam Olvey. With me was Rebecca Friedman and Eileen Kabbalah. Thank you very much, both of you. Our music, as usual, is by Chris Coleman. My production assistants are Darren Garvin and Mike Gillis. Post-show is at the office at 5 p.m. Ask an Atheist is an NEDM Media production. Our voicemail is 206-420-0997. You can email us at questions at askanatheist.tv and go check out the thread at askanatheist.tv. It'll be interesting. Hopefully, see you guys next week.
Play Radio, your conversation station.